have the holy family. We have the animals in the barn, the shepherds, and the three magi with their three gifts. Now, Matthew does not actually tell us how many magi there were. We think that there were three magi because they gave three gifts. But the nativity scene, the common scene that we know, is not really accurate. Scholars say that the Magi could not have arrived in Bethlehem right after the birth of Jesus. Today's chapter begins after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. So Matthew does not mention the exact time of their arrival. It's sometime during the reign of Herod. Who knows when? Scholars say that they most likely arrived about 1 year after the birth of Jesus. And that is why Herod ordered all the babies up to 2 years old to be killed. And that tells us that the Magi were not women, but men. If the Magi were women, they may have arrived on time because they would have asked for directions and, you know, found their way, right? But they were men. No men asked for directions. The Magi were ancient professionals who were not only astronomers, but also astrologers. They studied the movements of the stars. You know, they were scientists in that manner. But they also looked up to the stars to get the message from the stars. And the Jews did not look at these magi in a positive way. The Jews viewed magi as idolaters who studied and worshipped the stars. And we know that in the Old Testament, you know, God always condemns star worship. Matthew's genealogy in chapter 1 shows that Jesus, you know, God is in control of human history. In chapter 2, Matthew shows that God is in control over the natural universe. God works in unexpected ways in the history of humankind. He works in a mysterious way also in the nature. God guides these pagan star worshippers to Jerusalem by a star. Now, why did God lead these magi to Jerusalem first? Why didn't God lead these magi directly to where Jesus was in Bethlehem? Why the detour? Now, they stopped in Jerusalem first and then went to Bethlehem. This tells us something about the process of revelation. They had to be led first to Jerusalem. These magi have sensed through the observation, through the study of the stars, that there must be an intelligent being who created the universe and governed them by a certain set of laws. Just by a careful observation of the creation, they were able to sense the Creator's divine power. In Romans 1, Paul says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." So, you know, if people are to ask you, you know, how do you know there is God? You know, the correct answer is, look around. See what's been made. Look at the stars. Look at the mountains. Who made these? So people, even if, you know, they do not believe in God, they can know that there is a creator just by looking at the creation. And that's what these magi discovered. To know the true God, but by revelation of creation, it's not enough. They could know something about God's power and something about His divine nature, but they could not know anything further about the Creator. To know the true God worthy of worship, they had to come to Jerusalem, because it is at Jerusalem that God's word is revealed. That's where they hear the gospel, through the scriptures. The Magi had to be led to Christ through the Scriptures. When they got to Jerusalem, they heard the prophecy of Micah about the birth of the Messiah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Through the Scriptures, the Magi learn that this baby is no ordinary king. His birth has been prophesied many centuries before, and now it has come true. He is called the Messiah, God's anointed king, and they learn that he is a shepherd king, taking care of his people, guiding them to green pastures and quiet waters. They learn that he will be born in a town called Bethlehem. It is only after they learn the location of the king's birth through the Scriptures that the star reappears and guides them to Bethlehem. So our knowledge of God through the nature is limited. To know the true God, we have to be led to Christ through the Scriptures. And that's what goes on in our worship service. The Scriptures lead us to Christ. We meet the living Christ, and we bow down to worship him. And that's what the Magi do. When they see Christ, they bow down and worship him, and they give their precious gifts for Jesus. Gold, incense, and myrrh, all precious gifts worthy for a king. And that's what worship is. We are led to the living Christ through the Scriptures. We bow down to Christ and we present him our offerings to pay him homage. Not only do we give our resources, but we also give our bodies as a living sacrifice. And after this encounter with Christ, the Magi do not go back to Herod, because they were warned by the angels, and they go to their country through a different route. And this signifies a change in them after their worship of Christ. They no longer obey the voice of Herod, but they obey the voice of God. And I like to imagine that the Magi became very much interested in the Hebrew Scriptures. They probably obtained a copy of one of the books in the Old Testament, and I think they really, really studied that book hard to learn more about Jesus, this amazing king. The Magi traveled a long, very long distance just to worship this baby king. And we human beings, all of us, we have a natural tendency toward worship. We worship our idols. We worship celebrities. Some people worship BTS. People worship Stephen Curry or LeBron James, the basketball fans. We worship many things in the nature. Paul says in Romans 1 that people worship created things instead of the Creator. We also have the desire to be worshipped by other people. We love to, receive approval, get approval, and receive praise from others. We want to be popular. Herod was a king who was very sensitive to public opinion. He knew that the Jews did not like him and that they did not consider Herod to be a legitimate king of the Jews. So Herod built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem to get his approval ratings up. He wanted to be praised and even worshipped by his people, like a celebrity. But Herod was not worthy of people's worship. Only Jesus is worthy of our worship because he is the Creator who became a human being. And not only that, he is worthy of our worship because of the kind of king he is. Herod was a king who killed others to maintain his own power. He put himself above others. His policy was Herod first. And he was willing to kill his wife and his own sons to maintain his throne. But Jesus, in contrast, is a king who put others first and laid down his life for others. He is a king who willingly gave up his throne. He gave up his power to give life to his people. Since Jesus is so worthy, let us acknowledge Jesus as our shepherd king. Let us bow down to him, pay him our homage. Let us give him gifts worthy of a king, and give our bodies as living sacrifice. And like the Magi, let us continue to study God's word to know Jesus even better. Let us pray. As we pray, let us imagine Jesus, a baby Jesus in a manger, and let us gaze upon him and wonder at the incarnation. Wonder at the fact that the great God who made this huge universe became a small baby. And let us worship him and give him our praise.